Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And APB, American Protection Bureau, voted number one best on Long Island for all your security needs. Call 631-390-9050. That's 631-390-9050. APB.
You need a body shop? You need engine repair? Auto Excellence, Collision Specialists, 631-261-6420. That's 631-261-6420. Auto Excellence. Jimmy, I gotta take a dump.
What?
No, I mean I need a dumpster.
Well, for all those needs, you need to call Big V Dumpster Rental, Long Island, New York, 631-900-DUMP.
Elm Logistics, for all your logistic needs, call 631-299-3595. That's 631-299-3595. Elm Global Logistics, pride, performance, and partnerships.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of The 30. Every Thursday, I ask a panel of four wrestling experts questions as they compete for points, and the one with the most points at the end of the day is crowned The 30 World Champion. I'm ESO, and let's get this started.
Dun, dun, dun. Nice.
Look at that.
Whoa. All right. Well, let's bring in, first of all, the man from Circleville. How's it going down there, Joe? Joe, what a day, Lowry.
Circleville. I have no idea where Circleville is.
Centerville.
It's like Summerfest.
I do believe I live in Centerville, Iowa, not Circleville, but it might as well be a circle right now because we're under a blizzard warning. So I'm coming to you live from Blizzard Central. What a day, guys.
So next, we're going to bring in the man with all the player mates, the player, Benny Scala.
You have straight out of player, though. Look out for number one, but don't step in number two.
Nice, nice. Then we have, of course, man who needs no introduction, the president of Thursday nights, Mr. President himself, Phil DeCesare.
To quote a late grade friend of mine, wrestling fans around the corner and around the world, let's get ready to rumble. Love it.
All right. And now a man that needs no introduction. He is a defending the 30 world champion, the one, the only, Dan Sebastiano. What's going on down there, Dan?
Hey, you know, very simple. You guys are going to have to acknowledge me. You might as well just change the color of my name graphics to the title, because I'm about to set a record-breaking lengthy title reign. So,
lengthy. Well, Phil, how long did you hold the title for?
What was that?
For me?
Yeah, Phil. Didn't you
I think 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
I also had a holiday interlude there, so I think it was 3 weeks. So, yeah, man.
Didn't somebody inherit the title when I came on? Somebody inherited the title.
Yeah, the first time I had to vacate the title, won it, and then Benny tricked me into not being on the next episode, so I couldn't tell.
I was framed.
That's all Jannetty's gotten going through that glass has got nothing on the number of times Benny stabbed me in the back.
That's got shades of Valentine Backlund, November of 81 on written all over it, so I don't know.
Dan, you're precocious and ferocious, man. You may be the youngest one, but brother, wow, you're bringing it. So,
and Circleville's atrocious.
Right. Hey, everybody knows we got a lively chat tonight, so you got to make sure we recognize our fans out there.
Got to acknowledge them.
I better tune in here. Yeah.
Jay Wills at the house. Joe Myers, we got going on here.
Oh, our friend Jay A. Love him.
Yeah.
Jay Will, yeah.
Matt Holland, he's in there. They're all yapping away, loving the show. Thanks
for your support. Cousin Matthew.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Good stuff, good stuff.
Well, guys, let's get this thing started. You guys know the rules. Foreign objects are allowed. Bonus points will be rewarded at my discretion for funny and amusing comments and any cash wired to my bank account. So just keep that in mind.
There you go.
You got Venmo? I got to do Venmo.
You do it right now, yeah.
So let's.
I can do threats of bodily injury, Bruce. That's about it.
Bodily injury. Okay.
So, all right. Well, let's get this started. So during an interview on Signed by Superstars, Matt Riddle claims he was initially supposed to win the 2022 Royal Rumble, but after Brock Lesnar had lost his title earlier in the night to Bobby Lashley, Brock used his creative influence to enter and win the Rumble itself. Dave Metzler, as well as WWE officials, dispute this. What do you think about this? Is Matt telling the truth? How could this have changed the landscape of the WWE and the title picture for that year? So, first person on the 30 tonight is going to be the player, Benny. So, Benny, you are on the 30. Oh, hang on 1 second. Where's my timer?
There it is. I see it.
Yep, I see the time.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. There it is. And Benny, and you are on to 30. Go.
You know, when I think of Matt Riddle, I think of Jeff Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And I believe at the end they had a graphic where I think he earned $50,000 in reward money because he saved Brooke Shields from drowning. But then he blew it all hiring Van Halen to play his birthday party. And that, nice. When I think of him, I think of Matt Riddle. What an idiot. He's so delusional. You know, he believes his own bullshit. Do you know when Matt Riddle is not lying is when his mouth is closed. So, I mean, I discount anything. I did like the guy for a while. I liked RK-Bro. I mean, he was entertaining to a point. He was talented. I mean, I never took him seriously, though, as any kind of, you know, I mean, yeah, he could win the U.S. title, maybe even the IC title or a tag title, but I never took him to be a main event player. And he's just, I mean, he's continued to make a fool out of himself in the news. And he doesn't strike me as being a very good human being. So I don't even know where he is now. So I thought I heard All Japan. Maybe one of the other contestants can, you know, set me straight on that. But just not a Matt Riddle fan. And, you know, I mean, don't wish the guy harm, but he just never did it for me. Just, you know, kind of like I said, he reminded me of Jeff Spicoli, but I like Jeff Spicoli a whole lot better.
Nice.
Nice job, Benny. Nice job there.
I wonder what Van Halen played, you know, for Spagoli. They never showed Van Halen. That would have been a great cameo, I think.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
You know, that would have been really nice. I mean, just to see him do something. Or even Brooke Shields, you know.
My favorite character in that movie was Damone, though. I love Damone.
Oh, yeah. Big Damone.
His 5-point plan.
Yeah.
All right. Wherever you are, that's the place.
Nice job. It looks like you came out you know, with a modest 10 points on that. Not the
modest 10 points.
Modest. Nice.
Modest, yeah.
So next up on the 30, we are going to have what a day, Joe. What a day, Joe Lowry. You are on the 30 and go.
Well, you know, bro, I just don't know. Bro. Matt Riddle, you know, he's left the WWE. You know, he's one of those guys that, to me, I saw him in NXT 2017 at the Lowell Auditorium. He put on a great show. I thought he has a lot of potential and so forth. Obviously, we know he has some past problems in the locker room and all that. I guess at this point, when you're let go from the WWE, you can make up stories like this or you can embellish stories like this. I mean, there's another one out there claiming that he was supposed to win the Royal Rumble as well, and that went to Austin Theory. So you just don't know what's true and what's fabricated and all this stuff. And we may never know because half the staff in WWE, the producers, may or may not even be there anymore and so forth. He seemed okay with it, even though he had a name drop, Brock Lesnar. You know, if you want to look at the actual story and so forth, does it have Vince McMahon written all over it? I mean, Vince McMahon pretty much controls everything that goes through there. So to have Brock Lesnar lose the title, which obviously Vince McMahon planned, and for Brock Lesnar to come in and say, hey, screw this, I'm winning the Rumble now, sounds like a great story. But, you know, RK-Bro, he may not know. There's no way to prove this. It's a great story. It's a great headline. Amazing to see all this stuff. As for wrestling, he says he's not going to AEW right away. He wants the indies. He does not like TV wrestling. He says it's too long. You got commercial breaks and so forth. But, hey, RK-Bro, we don't know, man. We don't know. Nice round.
Way to go. That was a good round there. Hey, listen, it looks like you came out on top. You're in the lead right now with 12 points. Way to go. Way to go.
Did I get a couple of field goals or two safeties? I can't figure that score out.
You got bonus points for calling Money in the Bank the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
That's right. Money in the Bank. I'm sorry. I'm losing my mind.
The next up on the 30 will be the champ himself, Dan Sebastiano. Dan, you
champ
are
is here.
Well, let's get ready to rumble.
It's very simple. Riddle clearly went to the Hulk Hogan school of storytelling. This is, I was there when Bruiser Brody was killed. I was sat next to Kerry Von Erich on a plane. No, there's no way. Looking at where his character was at the time, him winning the Rumble wouldn't have made any sense. And it wouldn't even have worked as a swerve, because you have to remember, Brock Lesnar won the Rumble and then used his Rumble win to force his way into the Elimination Chamber match, where he won the WWE title. And the main event night two of WrestleMania was the title unification, Lesnar against Reigns. Winner gets both. This is why Reigns had both belts. That would storyline would not have worked with Riddle as the unified champion. It had to be finally Heyman and his guy beating Brock Lesnar. That's long-term storytelling at its finest. And given the other issues that Riddle was having, no. Absolutely no way was he scheduled to win the Rumble. And even if he was, do you really think that the night of the Rumble, Brock Lesnar, with 10 minutes before they go out there, says, hey, Vince, I'm winning this today. Yo, all right, whatever you say, Brock. No, it's BS. It's crap. Not only does it sound like a fake story and Riddle have a long history of lying, but it wouldn't have made sense to the storylines they were building up. And it's not like Brock Lesnar just showed up poof out of the blue. He was a champion going into that, had the feud with Lashley, loses the title, and then comes out smelling like roses because he wins the Rumble, he wins the title, and he goes on to make
Paris Mania. Nice job, Dan. Nice job.
I think Dan had like 4 minutes there. Can you do a
recap? Yeah, I wonder.
The longest rebuttal.
Was that me or like, you know?
I was typing an autobiography myself. I just don't know what the hell that was all about. But
I did hear an hourglass and the sand was mushy.
I did hear the word poof. And that's like the second time today I've heard that word. Believe it or not. I got an email today and somebody said poof in the email. So that's twice today. That's very
rare. I'm going to invoke my Jim Cornette.
What the fuck?
So, last but not
least. Whoa, look at that. He missed the extra point. 13, what's up with that?
Ooh, last but not least in this round, we have Phil DeCesare. Phil, you are on the 30. Go.
Hey, diddle diddle, your kitty's in the middle. Swing it like you just don't care. I don't believe that Mr. Riddle has much care for the truth. And to quote an Aerosmith song anyway, to bring it a little more local, another nice band too. And we know Mr. Riddle has an affinity for 420, the time in the afternoon, maybe the time in the morning, and maybe all hours in between. We know that there's a lot of high test stuff out there right now. And we know that that does contribute to a quite a vivid imagination, you know? And yeah, Mr. Riddle has a little bit of a history, particularly with challenging people within the business who have an MMA background, okay? I mean, he's done that to Goldberg before, and of course he's been mentioning him again lately, but also in the case with Brock Lesnar. You know, and I think he fashions himself quite a shooter and a fighter in his own right. And, you know, I do think that if he were actually slated to win the event and Lesnar tried to go into business for himself, he might see it as an opportunity to try to shine and step up. And, you know, I think we all know what would happen if he did do that. But yeah, I agree. Of course not. You know, nothing happens without Vince's final word. And no matter what kind of creative control Brock might have, it's certainly not going to surface in the middle of an event. So we'll chalk it up to a very vivid imagination, a little, you know, maybe smoking out of the blue meanie a little bit. you know. Again, he's creating.
Nice job, Phil.
A blue meanie reference. Wow. Yeah. Love that. That deserves an Asiatic spike.
Jeff Spicoli, blue meanie.
You know, if something like that happened in AEW, you'd probably believe it. You know what I mean? That sounds like something that would happen in AEW.
Well, you know, with as much access as people have to backstage, there's no way that story wouldn't have come out in over the last year and a half.
Exactly.
Before now, somebody would have been like, Vince was tore up the script.
Yeah.
Bro, it happened, bro.
Bro.
Nice.
You gotta love it. Hey, the chat's pretty lively today. I got a lot of people in there. Beth Hopper's in the house. Welcome, Beth.
Playmate.
Yeah, there you go. She chimed in last night on the What a Day in Centerville show. That was nice to see them.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was good stuff there.
Yeah, I've noticed any show Benny's on seems to have a pretty consistent female contingency.
Got the playmates. That's where I'm the player.
Yep, he's a hot item. Hot commodity there. Got to get Benny on the show.
Ooh, J.A. Will with the Fred Dreyer reference.
Yeah, I saw that.
Fred he was Hunter. A San Diego Charger.
That was a good show, Hunter.
Hunter is a great show.
I never watched it until now. It's on Fubo, and I'm addicted to it now. I never watched it in the 80s.
No, it's awesome. Watched
very, very good show.
God. Yeah. He was a Charger, a San Diego Charger, I think.
He's a big boy.
He was a Ram, too.
A Ram, okay. Maybe he was a Ram. Yeah, he's about 6'6" in his prime, I think.
Too bad he couldn't join that Battle Royal WrestleMania 2 with all the football players. That would have been a good sight. He was big enough. I mean, he was a big guy.
Yeah, he absolutely was. What was his saying? Does anyone remember?
Ooh. I just remember the cameo on Cheers he did. He was a sportscaster.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He's going to interview Sam, and then all of a sudden John McEnroe was available, and he bolted out.
What a great show.
Let's get moving. Well, yeah, I just was listening to the conversation. We haven't done one there. But hey, let's get back on to this. And this question is a little bit of a layover from last week. So all signs are leading to AEW having either signed or is soon to be signing Mercedes Moné to a contract after negotiations with the WWE not leading anywhere and her wanting way more than WWE thought she was worth. Do you think this was a mistake by WWE? Is this a win for AEW? Is Moné really that relevant? And on the first on the 30 this round is Mr. President. Bill, you are on the 30 and go.
Great question. Yeah, I considered that. I knew ultimately she was going to go to AEW, or so were the whisperings in the wind. Is this going to be a win for both, okay? Because as of now, even with the loss of Charlotte Flair right now down with injury, WWE is pretty stocked with women and with incredibly athletic, attractive, unbelievable women. So I don't think they can really add someone else to their roster right now. I think the return of Nikita Lyons, whom I personally have an affinity for, what a great talent in the ring too, with Jade Cargill waiting in the wings and with former NWA women's extraordinaire champion waiting in the wings as well. I don't know if she's signed officially, but Camille is probably going to jump on board too. I think they're pretty stocked with talent, okay? I think AEW can certainly look to expand, and particularly with wrestlers in the mold of Miss Monet. I think she brings something to to the organization, given her history. I think she's probably worth the price right now. You know, she was boss material once upon a time, as Michael Cole would incessantly say. Oh, well, it's Phil, boss time. I'm glad we won't hear that anymore. Anyway, so I think she's going to be a good fit with AEW. I think it's great because I think WWE
overtime. He's getting overtime. He's getting overtime.
Sorry.
Joe, I could listen to you all day. Honestly, I don't mind.
Phil is short for filibuster.
Filibuster.
I'm filibustering.
Philharmonic.
There you go. Oh,
look at that score. Whoa, my God. That's a few touchdowns and a field goal, looks like.
Bill's finally giving it to me. All right.
Always consistent.
With 12 safeties.
Always nice. Consistent there.
Okay. Bruce was talking about how hard it is to score points on him last week, so he's got to bump it up now.
There you go.
Everybody's giving good answers so far. So let's see. Benny, you are next on the 30. Ready and go.
Yeah, I'm going to probably go against the grain. I have no use for that eggnog bitch. You know when you drink eggnog and you have that phlegm in your throat? That's what she sounds like. She annoys the living shit out of me. I think she is the most overrated talent. And I don't even want to use the word talent because I don't think she has much. I mean, she's attractive, maybe, if you like skanks, I guess she's attractive. But
Jesus.
Honestly, WWE doesn't need her. They are, like Phil said, they are stocked with talent. You got Camille coming in. You got Jade Cargill in the wings. You got Asuka. You got Charlotte. You got Becky Lynch. You got Rhea Ripley, who's like on fire and has been on fire for a long time. What do they need her for? She would just, she'd be caught in a logjam. And she's known for either being injured or injuring someone. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, let Tony Khan hire her. And I think he's going to pay her, what, $5 million a year? So next year, instead of losing $34 million, so now he'll lose $39 million because she's not going to bring anything to the bottom line. I just, as you can see, I'm not a fan of the lady. Lady, I don't know if she's a lady or not. But, I'm so glad. I do not want to see her in a WWE ring ever again. Or as Chris Jericho would say, again.
Great, again. Great job. Great again. Job, Benny. You've got a lot of points that I agree on there. And had me giggling a little bit, so I had to give you a couple extra points in there. All and right. It looks like you worked your way back up to a tie for first.
Oh, right, all right. Wow. All right. Look at that. Hey, player, Mercedes Moné gives you a call. You going to take it? Or are you just going to say, now you're all set?
I'm all stocked up with players. I get all the players I need. Right, just check it.
Hey, Bruce, I got a question for you. Who's tallying the scores?
I have no idea.
You have no idea? Are they computer generated?
Yeah, it's all based on my opinion here.
Chat GPT. Mark and Mitchell or Benjamin
now? It's like deal or no deal. You can't see the banker. He's the one that's making all the decisions here. So it's like, can I talk to the banker, please? I got to do something. I deserve a spike.
While you're talking there, Joe, you might as well keep it up and because you're on the 30. Go.
All right. Well, Mercedes Moné, the bottom line is what can she bring to AEW or WWE or TNA or whatever and all that stuff? AEW, if they sign her, I don't know what she's going to do. That roster is absolutely stacked right now. I don't know if you saw Dynamite last night, but that match with Sky Blue and Statlander and all them, that was unbelievable. Thunder Rosa. Where does she fit in? She cannot fit in with WWE. Jade Cargill is on the horizon. That's going to be the next big thing to come in here. I don't see where she fits in. I think at this point, both WWE and AEW missed out on that shock and awe factor and that surprise because you had CM Punk come back. Then you had Randy Orton come back. And then, of course, you had The Rock appearance and so forth, which, by the way, based on his Instagram today, it looks like he's coming back to WWE and doing more than just the Rumble. But Mercedes Moné, what does she bring? She brings her name. That's about it. Right now, I don't see her where she fits in with AEW. If she goes there, she's going to get lost in the shuffle. At this point, I think the best way to introduce Mercedes Moné, seriously, is to have a backstage vignette where they're all talking and all that stuff, whether it's AEW, WWE, have all the girls talking in the locker room, you know, talking about this and that. And then all of a sudden, she just walks in. That's it. The door opens, she walks in, and she's welcomed back like that. I can't see the big grandstand re-entry for Mercedes Moné because right now, I don't think there's a place for either promotion.
Nice job, Joe. Right. You got bonus points there for the Sky Blue reference. But talking about the Sky Rock Blue and bringing up the other parts of the Rumble, I think hurt you for a few seconds there. Let's see how you ended up. 23.
Where's the bonus points? What's up with that? Well, you lucky wants 100 points for Joe. If I mentioned Sky Blue,
at least 2 points for the tape bum. That should get him something, right?
Have you guys watched Sky Blue wrestle at all yet? Have you guys seen her?
Yeah,
she's a good worker.
Yeah, she.
I like her. She's
I have a gut. You know, call me old fashioned, but I have a gut feeling, Joe, that your like of Sky Blue's talent is about the same as the president's like of Nikita for similar reasons.
Are you talking about Nikita Lyons from
NXT? Yes.
No. Well, Dan, while you're talking there, why don't you just keep it on going? And you are on the 30.
Absolutely. I am going to agree with Benny, except I'm going to be much more civil and polite about it. No, she's not going to bring anything to AEW. She's not going to move the needle. I mean, you have to look at the history. WWE is doing some of the best numbers they've done in years, and their women's division is being complimented and portrayed and enjoyed in ways it wasn't when she was a part of it. I'm not saying that, you know, maybe like a Shotzi or somebody like that is better than Mercedes Moné. But the fact is she left, walked out of the company, didn't want to do the job, boo-boo job phase, walk out of the company. And the company got better after she left, plain and simple. AEW's women's division is hurting. They've got some good talent. They've got some really bad talent too. But and as for the women's match that you mentioned, Joe, let's not forget the big eight-person suplex spot where Julia Hart lined up on the wrong side and had to be nudged over by one of her opponents that you're suplexing the wrong person, which I thought was hilarious. But no, to answer your question, Mercedes Moné is not going to move a needle. She's not worth $5 billion a year. They don't have anybody on that roster other than maybe a CM Punk that was selling all the merch that would be worth that kind of money. If WWE wanted her, they would have her. If they thought she was worth the money, she would get it. They don't. They know better than AEW does. Plain and simple, even if she shows up tomorrow and becomes the biggest focused star on the roster, not going to move the needle an inch. How many more people are going to watch Dynamite because Mercedes Moné has a match? Zero.
That's time. Dan, nice job. Nice job there. The champ took it back. The champ is in the lead after the third or the second round there.
The only needle that she might move is Tony Khan's needle dick.
Ooh.
The needle Tony Khan was snorting something with before he went on that Twitter tirade the other day.
The Twitter tirade. Oh, my God. I remember that. What's with the Jinder Mahal thing?
You know what? In all fairness, everybody says Tony Khan cannot build stars. Tony Khan made Jinder Mahal the biggest star in wrestling in less than a few minutes.
Oh, yeah.
That's impressive.
Well, it goes back to what MJF said back in May of 2023-22, calling him an effing mark. I swear to God. He's more of a fan than an owner.
Well, he literally went on Twitter and was crying to his fans because people looked at Jinder Mahal, a former WWE champion who can cut a great promo, who's jacked, who looks like $1 million. They're taking him as more of a serious main event threat than this skinny little kid who's mid-card at best and has no personality.
Did you watch AEW last night? I think they did a spoof on that because Hook is getting a title shot against Samoa Joe.
Next week, they confirmed it.
What's up with that? Like, yeah, I mean, where's the story? You know, it's ridiculous. Mm. It's too bad. And Mercedes Moné and Sasha Banks were at a movie premiere last night. For I think the movie's called Self-Reliance. But the thing there, Mercedes Moné, she keeps trolling WWE. Like,
she was with Bailey. Was it with Bailey?
Yeah, she was with Bailey last night. Yep. Yeah, so they're hanging out. It's like, you know, just, I don't know, social media.
Yeah. All right, guys. So listen, so Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic has been announced, and tag team wrestling in general has changed since the 70s and 80s. Those golden age when you had teams that could actually main event buildings. It wasn't unusual to have a tag team roster 6 or 8 teams deep. You know, Demolition, the Hart Foundation, British Bulldogs, the Dream Team, Stud and Bundy, Natural Disaster, Strikeforce. The list goes on and on. Even when you get into the NWA, the Fantastics, the Rock and Roll Express, the Freebirds, Road Warriors. Well, how do you feel about this, the current level of tag team wrestling? It's really only been, they talk about it in the NXT, but not really on the main roster as much. And how do you feel about this current level of tag team wrestling? And where would you like to see tag team wrestling in the future? And let's see, first we've got... What a day, Joe. You are on the 30, and this ready and go.
Tag team wrestling. Well, let me tell you a quick story. When I first became a wrestling fan, the very first match that I watched was Tony Garea and Rick Martel versus the Fabulous Moondogs. So my first wrestling match that I saw wasn't one-on-one. It was with those four, and it was unbelievable. Yeah, tag team wrestling. I'll tell you, though, when AEW first started out, They were all tag teams, and they put on some classic matches. But the thing about tag team wrestling, the rules have changed. Vince has changed the rules. The 5-second rule, you can double team and all that stuff. Really now, I don't know. Tag team wrestling, you bring back the Dusty Rhodes Classic. I think that's purely just for a name and the history and the nostalgia of it, which is great. But tag team wrestling means you have to have a partner that you have chemistry with, somebody that you could sell. Pretty Deadly. I know they're new and upcoming. They seem to have that chemistry. That's a pretty good tag team. One thing I do like is Pete Dunne, Butch, that they call him, with Tyler Bate. They're together now. They have super chemistry going back to the NXT UK days. I mean, when I first saw Pete Dunne wrestle and them two, they had beautiful chemistry. Now they put them together and, bang, Tyler Bate is now on SmackDown. So a tag team wrestling, obviously it's changed. The rules have changed. The generations have changed. I mean, you have these tag team turmoil matches. Now, you might as well just put everybody in the ring at the same time and forget about tagging, because it's just a storyline now. It's just something to either push somebody over and all that stuff. Ric Flair, he's coming back. It's going to be a tag team match. It's like, it's sad, but tag team wrestling is not what it used to be.
Nice job. Nice job, Joe. And you are back in the lead with 37. Ooh. Nice round.
There you go. 3-7, 3-7. Tony Garea, Rick Martel, great tag team. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
I loved it. One of my first favorite
tag teams.
Why is Tony Garea not in the Hall of Fame?
Or Rick Martel? That is my big.
Right.
I believe we got Tony Garea coming up on Money in the Pharaoh channel sometime.
Yeah, it's in May. He's coming up in May. I'm trying to get him on my show before then because I need to know. I need to know why.
Don't forget, they were going to ask Rick Martel, but the ballot got too full with Coco Beware and Kid Rock. So.
Unbelievable. No room for the model.
All right, Dan, it looks like you are up on the 30 and go.
Okay, tag team wrestling today is not what it used to be. There are some teams out there that can absolutely go. I would argue that this last year, 2023, match of the year was the 2 out of 3 falls match between Juice Robinson, Jay White against FTR. And the year before, match of the year was the chain match between FTR and the Briscoes. I mean, I would say tag team wrestling at its best can be great. But the problem is that it gets pushed kind of to the side. Sometimes tag team titles become props or they don't do tag teams. You mentioned at the beginning of this question, the Dusty Rhodes Classic. 4 of the first 5 winners of the Dusty Rhodes Classic weren't tag teams. They were 2 stars thrown together for a storyline. So, with the Authors of Pain being the only exception there. But you think back to, you talked about like the Survivor Series, some of these matches. I mean, remember the 10-on-10 match when you had the Killer Bees and the Authors of Pain and the Hart Foundation? And fun fact for everybody, 1988, Hart Foundation and the Rockers on the same Survivor Series team. Only time in WWF history that Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels tagged together. But the you had 20 teams in the ring and 12 or 13 of them could have been champions and nobody would have complained. Tag team wrestling is not what it used to be. But when you look, the best feud of my childhood, or I should say my youth, was the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express. They sold out arenas. That was the highest drawing feud for years. Tag team wrestling at its best is the best wrestling you can have, period.
Nice job, Dan. Nice job.
There you go.
See where he ended up there. Nice job. And you got extra points from Monty in the chat room for the cat.
Whoa. Look at that. Unbelievable. We got some high scores again.
So yeah, Mike's out there. You can thank Mike Monty for that one.
I got to ask you, Dan, you like Tiger King? Because you got some lions behind you, like running around and all that stuff and going up around your chair.
We've got seven cats in the house, so they love being on camera.
They like Carol freaking Baskin. Asiatic Spike reference. All right. Monty loves the cat, though.
Although anybody that sees the price of pet food, to quote the other side of Tiger King, I'm never going to financially recover from this.
All right, we've got one more person in this round, and it is Mr. President himself. Bill, you are on the 30. Go.
Yeah, what a question. We talk about growing up, and I grew up in the era of tag teams, certainly in the 80s. And I think that was the dominant era, and it was dominated not only by huge muscle guys, like, of course, the Road Warriors being probably the top of the list. And we had Steiners, okay? We had brothers, and if they weren't related, they were really close. And it was a different, obviously, the game was different back then. You know, teams aren't wrestling once a week or twice a week. They're on the road 7 days. And in those 7 days, they really got to perfect things. And, you know, no one was calling spots. Everything was smooth. Everything was automatic, you know. And ultimately, everything was realistic, too. And I think it's kind of ironic now today. There seem to be more injuries than before. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with the style. Whereas back then, things looked real and people didn't get hurt. And today, things don't look real and people are getting hurt left and right. So that's what I wanted to say, first of all. There are not many memorable teams right now, and teams don't really tend to last terribly long. You guys mentioned Authors of Pain. I think it was great to see Paul Ellering back, particularly.
Absolutely.
You know, talk about a manager extraordinaire of teams and factions, and just incredible. Imperium, another great team I like today too, particularly Kaiser. Boy, what body language.
That guy
is so hateable, so good, you know, so he's great. FTR, I have to give them props. Incredible. They've been really involved in some 5-star matches. So FTR still big on the list too. Of course, Usos. How can we not forget one of the best teams around? And again, I think they really elevated tag team wrestling in the modern era. And Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, another great twosome. Particularly Sammy, just incredible in the ring, very innovative. So you know, it is a different time, but it's not a memorable time.
Bill's just going. It's all right. His score is already up there. We already know where he stands.
That's for Monty.
Oh, yeah, Monty. Points for you, Sky Blue.
Monty, that one's for you, baby.
I will say I'm the last person to objectify anybody, but I don't know why. Maybe it's the worst coincidence ever, but AEW's camera work when Sky Blue wrestles.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know who's in that cameraman's ear because he catches every detail and angle. There's no way that's not on purpose.
You know, he catches every detail during Sky Blue matches, but during the other matches, they're out of whack. There was some great moves last night at AEW, and they had the worst angles imaginable.
They must call in Jackie Crockett for that camera work.
Do you know when they record in Daly's place, they intentionally off-center the hard camera because they want it to look more like a video game, like the old SmackDown. Like 90s video games.
That's why
it's kind of off center at an angle. It gets that fake look.
It does have that.
That sting spot was horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. Hey,
listen, we don't want Benny to forget what the question was. So let's get
it. What's that question? I got it.
Is Bob Backlund the greatest champion ever?
Right.
So Benny, you are the 30. Go.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I lament as far as wrestling's past. And we've had George Shire, who's a great wrestling historian. And we went over a list of things that existed in the past that don't really exist in the present. And one of the top things that we both agreed on, and Dan did too, was that they have tag teams now, but the importance of tag teams. Back in the day, tag teams were important. There were many, many cards in Mid-Atlantic, in the AWA, even when Bruno would go to Japan and he wouldn't defend a title, they would have a tag team match as the main event. I mean, how many
I mean, how many times did we watch TV on Saturday morning because we knew that there might be a change in the tag team title? You know, the Samoans, the Executioners, the Lumberjacks. I mean, you name them, Parisi and Serdan, the Blackjacks. I mean, we saw so many title changes on Saturday morning, and it meant a lot to us. The tag teams were very important. It's not that they don't have great tag teams out there now. They do. I don't think, from both the fans' perspective, as well as Vince McMahon or Tony Khan, I don't think it's as meaningful anymore. It's a shame because it was one of the great things about wrestling. You could take two great wrestlers. I mean, look at Harley Race and Larry Hennig, one of the greatest tag teams of all time, or Pat Patterson and Ray Stevens, another two of the all-time greats, and made one of the greatest tag teams of all time. And I think it's just sorely missing.
Yeah.
Don't forget Chris and John Tolos.
John Tolos. Wow. Okay.
They were a great tag team.
They don't use the tag rope as much anymore. You don't see that anymore.
Right.
Australian rules. I love. And the announcers, the ring announcers used to say that. Oh, it's Australian rules. Tag team. Yeah. What's that mean? Well, he gets to hold on to the rope.
You know, I'll tell you, that's my biggest criticism of AEW, because Tony Khan loves his tag matches.
Yeah.
But how many times you see on AEW when they do a tag match and the guys will come in and be in the ring for like 2 minutes before they go back to their corner?
Yeah, it's good. It's crazy. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, used to be. That's going into the first elimination round, it looks like the champ is in the lead, but it's definitely a close race. This is anybody's game. My Venmo account is still waiting.
Your counter got stuck on my answer there, Bruce.
right, guys. Let's see. It looks like Vice's Dark Side of the Ring has been picked up for its fifth season. Mike Johnson of PWI Insider reports Vice City has renewed Dark Side of the Ring for its fifth season. The current plan is for it to debut this March. No topics have been announced yet. The show has been both praised and criticized. What do you guys think of the show? Are you happy to see it come back? And what topics do you hope or think we will see this season? And on the 30 is the champ. The champ. Let's see what you got in this round. You are on the 30.
If it's true that it's been picked back up, then I'm super excited because I absolutely love Dark Side of the Ring. It has done wonders, not just for telling stories that need to be told, but I have friends that aren't wrestling fans that watch the show and love it. And you hear people talking about wrestling, going back and watching old clips because, I remember when that was everywhere and they want to tell the stories. And obviously with the popularity of the Iron Claw, people have gone back to watch the Von Erich episode. It's great stuff. The Tales from the Territory spinoff was also great. But no, I'm excited if it is coming back. As for topics, there are so many you can still touch on. I think just topically today, you could do Vince McMahon. I don't know if they jump right into the whole NDA scandal. You could do the end of the WCW era, the way they kind of touched on the final pay-per-view with Hogan. Benny loved to talk about Riddle and his time in the airport. That could be an entire episode to itself. There's so many territory stories that haven't been told. Various stars, everybody from Bruno to DiNucci that could get their own, maybe not dark and gritty, but just behind the scenes stuff. The Road Warriors, there's a lot of, and their feud, you could do the Midnight Express. You could do the end of the run, some of the paychecks bouncing, the transition from Crockett to WCW when people weren't getting paid and fired. There's so much they could do. But personally, really, the story they have to touch on is the formation of Dan and Benny in the Ring, because that's probably the best wrestling story out there right now.
And make sure it gets broadcast in Tibet, the lower region.
Nice job, champ. Nice job setting the bar, the bar high.
Woo, Jesus.
Don't worry, one a day. I got faith in you.
But where's the banker? I want to talk to the banker.
No deal, Howie.
No deal. No deal. Right. Oh, boy.
So, well, let's see.
Yeah, that's a good one. But Dark Side of the Ring's a good show. I got into it a couple of years ago, so definitely like it.
Oh, Mr. President, looking up in the space there, it looks like you are on the 30. Oh,
that was a Jimmy Valiant pose. Oh, there. Yeah.
There you go.
Little Jimmy was talking to me. He sneaked in.
Luscious Johnny. Yeah.
Absolutely. Johnny. You know, mixed feelings about Dark Side of the Ring. You know, it does draw a lot of people in, a lot of viewers into the business. It also provides, I think, acting opportunities to a lot of the guys in the business, maybe, and it might be a nice springboard for some people, some of our current competitors who maybe aren't in the limelight. So I think it's great from that end, too. It definitely is exploitive at times, for sure. And, well, I guess pro wrestling is, in essence, it is exploitation anyway, really, when you think about it, ultimately. But yeah, well, you know, regarding other ideas for future shows, we could look back at the old timers who, you know, we don't have a lot of them left, you know, and to bring a little bit of attention to them and maybe, you know, focus on some of the physical prices that some of these guys paid back in the day. You know, I know the style, again, wasn't like it is today, but they did compete in some very hard rings for sure. And, you know, this is when they were just starting to perfect the art. So, I mean, a lot of experimentation, certainly a lot of very legitimate injuries. And, you know, and these guys worked like crazy. They worked around the clock many days. So I think if we could kind of focus on them and maybe and there are some stories out of the business. And I know there are people who maybe just mismanaged their assets and maybe have found hard times. But, you know, wouldn't be bad to showcase some of them as well and kind of get them out there, you know, get away from some of the salacious stuff, some of the drug stuff, and, you know, focus on maybe some more human stories.
Your time is up, Phil. Nice job. Nice job.
Wow. Look at these scores. Wow. It's like Miami Dolphins scores.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. My goodness.
75.
Unbelievable. Look at that. These are some high scores.
Actually, think my score is the number of starting quarterbacks the Cleveland Browns have had since 2000. I don't know.
Oh, the poor Browns. I was rooting for Flacco big time, man. Rooting for the Browns. God. Oh.
What a story, huh?
Listen, yeah.
Benny looks like he's hard at thought, and I think he's going to have a great round this round. So let's go, Benny. You are on the 30.
Well, I'm kind of nervous here because I just got a text from Mercedes Moné, and she's on her way to kick my ass. So. I mean, fortunately, I've been working at them and, you know, good play of shape here. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe I'll keep my camera on. We'll have some bonus footage for next week. But, you know, honestly, I haven't watched that much of that show, but I've heard a lot of good things about it. And I think, you know, given the fact that, you know, we're past the kayfabe era, we need to know more about these kind of things. And we, I mean, we know, you know, who wrestled who and who won and who was the champion, but we need to know more information like this. And a couple of things came to mind as far as future episodes, and, you know, maybe not this particular person, but we had Paige Von Hess Sutherland, daughter of Kurt Von Hess, on Dan and Benny of the Ring. Fantastic guest, great lady. But the thing that she told me that really stuck with me, and this is, I think, would be a great episode, and not just with them, like across the board. They moved 17 times in 10 years. So I would love to see something like that. I mean, just, you know, a documentary. Okay, you know, you're 3 months at the school, so, you know, you're going to start your Christmas recess in St. Louis, but you're gonna end up in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, you know, I know you're in the sixth grade and you have a lot of great friends, but guess what? You're going to make them all over again. And it doesn't matter, because 6 months from now, you'll be saying goodbye to them too. You know, something like that would be a great episode. I think another great guest we had was Bugsy McGraw.
It's time. And you keep Bugsy up with your story. McGraw. Nice job, Benny. I want to hear the end of the story, Bugsy, though.
McGraw. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Bugsy McGraw.
Is he at a spike for that one?
He started several riots.
Yeah.
And I, you know, maybe just that, like, you know, being behind the door of the dressing room at one of the arenas where, you know, Bugsy's holding on for dear life. And on the other side are like 10 or 15 fans trying to get in, something like that. I mean, it was very real to those people.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff there. 49 points. Jeez. My goodness.
Yeah, it's a close one. Joe, you need at least 12 to stay in the game.
12. Okay.
So 12 points. I know you always spend your A game. So, Joe, you are on to 30.
That's 4 field goals. All right. Dark Side of the Ring. I love the fact that Vice picked it up for a fifth season. That's awesome. I started watching it a couple of years ago. I binged it. I think it's great. They do a lot of investigative reporting, and they try to get the most details they can. They do the reenactments. It makes it for good television, given the time slot they have, and a lot of people DVR that stuff now. I did make a list, however. That's the part of the joy of being going last. You get to hear all everybody's input. Some of the stuff that's out there is Gentleman Chris Adams. How about a story on Gentleman Chris Adams? Well, Adrian Street is another one. who recently passed away. People are looking for the Iron Sheik and Hackshaw Jim Duggan when they got arrested for the cocaine. Let's talk about that one. Scott Hall could be a good reference. Vince McMahon, obviously a good one. But another one that comes to mind that I thought of right away was the AEW All Out 2022, the press conference with CM Punk and Tony Khan. That's something they can investigate because he departed the company shortly thereafter and all that stuff. But let's really talk about what everybody is talking about on the internet now, and that is the arrest of WWE superstar Liv Morgan in Florida for cannabis. Can you believe it? Who in their right mind gets arrested for cannabis, THC, and all that stuff? Unbelievable. The thing is legal in mostly every state. And can you believe that Florida has not legalized cannabis and marijuana now? That is insane. I know most of the big charges for Liv Morgan were dropped, but I'd like to see a little episode on that, see what happened, why she was doing that. But that's my thoughts.
That is time. Nice job. Nice job, Joe. Oh, yeah. Let's see how we ended up.
Damn is right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Benny, we got to say goodbye to you today.
Well, the Asiatic Spike, really, Benny.
Really tight game tonight. Benny, it's always a pleasure. You got any final words before we send you out?
Yeah, I was framed. I was screwed.
should have pulled out one of those foreign objects, man.
I'll be left. Yeah, that's what.
Get him out of here. Get out of here. Get the title.
He's gone. All right, guys.
Bye, Benny.
You talk about Dark Side of the Ring. I'm looking forward to Chris Jericho narrating the episode about himself.
So listen, guys, we are a little tight on time now. So I'm going to reset all your scores to zero. And we're going to just do one final round to determine who the champ is.
We got a triple threat. Oh, boy.
So let me just give me a minute to reset
zero
the scores.
0.0.
Has no great point average. All incompletes.
That's what Don Morocco used to do. He used to pose like that.
Yep. Classic.
I had that poster on my wall for years.
Beach bum. Love him.
Oh, yeah. I went to my second Boston Garden event, August of 81. He fought. I made a sign, Beach Bum. I could not. My ears are still ringing to this day with that.
Was that the cage match against Backlund?
No, that was December of 81.
Okay.
Yeah, my story with that. I'll tell you, my story on that is pretty cool.
I wanted to go to that match. I ended up going to the Worcester show instead.
Yeah, there was a snowstorm that day. They had a December, if you remember, obviously you remember, December always had that afternoon card. For some reason, in December is the 1 o'clock show. So
yeah,
they had a great cage match. You got stuck in the ropes and Backlund won. And the crowds were on fire back then. Unbelievable.
They would rival Philly crowds for
your
sure.
Your ears would ring when you left because everybody's screaming.
Back when it was real, man, there was so much mystique. There was just so much emotion. It was just.
It was exciting. You feel it in the arena.
It was electric, man.
Yeah. So let's get on to this final question, guys. Because we've got the Monty and the Pharaoh show coming live right after us. So
screw them. Let's buy some overtime for them. We'll go over like Tony Khan does on TBS.
And then an override.
So Liz, we've talked about Ric Flair many times on this channel, and currently he's managing Darby Allin and Sting in what looks like they'll be leading up to Sting's final match on March 1st against the Young Bucks with Darby Allin there. Fightful Select says that there are no plans for Ric Flair to be physically involved in anything leading up to the match, but the Nature Boy is pushing for more and more physical interaction. Do you think Flair will become physically involved in this angle? Do you think Flair is overshadowing Sting's road to retirement? And will Ric Flair ever really retire? So we have.
Oh, no.
Yo, no. You are on the 30 and go.
Ric Flair, I've said it before, I'll say it again. This man will die in the ring. That is what he wants. I guarantee you he will physically die in the ring. And that's where they'll memorialize him. And that's where they'll have whatever they call that. He's going to lie in state at probably the Greensboro Coliseum because, that's where he performed a lot. Ric Flair got a little physical last night on AEW Dynamite. He chopped Will Hobbs, gave him a slap. Will Hobbs laughed at him, and then he poked him in the eye. So that was kind of of course, it took him about 20 minutes to get out of the ring. but he did get a workout last night because Sting, Darby Allin, they were all wrestling all over town. Ric Flair couldn't couldn't catch up with him. But at the end, he was in the ring. And, of course, the Young Bucks come out. I'm going to tell you right now, if Ric Flair's last tag team match, whether he wrestles or not, is with Sting and they go against the Young Bucks, I think AEW is dropping the ball big time, because that to me just says nothing. I think it should be people, Arn Anderson, people like that who can still get physical and get in the ring and all that stuff. But Ric Flair, I've said it many times, the man is living on borrowed time. He should have died in a plane crash. All the heart issues he has. He drinks himself. To this day, he says he loves drinking every day. He has to drink, and that's fine. That's what he likes. But this man, I'm telling you right now, will and wants to die in the ring, and it's probably going to happen sooner or later.
Nice job. Nice job, Joe. Well, that's a fair number to put up to start the round off. We'll see how these guys fare. Let's see. Next, we're going to have Mr. President himself is going to be up. Let's just get the clock set for him. And Bill, you are on the 30.
I agree with Joe that Flair is really aiming perhaps to pass in the ring, and it would be fitting in a way, but it's certainly something we don't want to see. But I also think in this warped world we live in now, I can almost envision Flair's come down in a helicopter before, okay? You know, to the strains of Thus Spoke, there's whatever that song was, Zarathustra, I believe that's the name of it. I can see him coming to the ring from a helicopter. I can see him performing, and I can see him performing a helicopter in the ring. Being the swan song, so to speak, stunning the audience, everyone jumping out of the ring and it going to black, and thus ends the career of the Nature Boy. I can see that, and the t-shirts that would follow, and the press that would follow. So I don't know. He looks pretty good right now. He looks like he's slimming down a little bit. I think he's got the problem with, he's got the alcohol, he's into the cannabis now, and the energy drinks too. So no wonder this guy was dehydrated last time he wrestled, okay? So the Nature Boy needs to be hydrated, okay, first and foremost. Needs to stay sober, needs to keep his clothes on. He's certainly going to draw a lot of eyeballs, and perhaps more so if he does what I described. So we're praying for sobriety, no nudity, and a longer life for Ric Flair.
Nice job, Phil. And he squeezes it out because of the helicopter.
Okay. What's up with that?
The helicopter reference got him a little bit of a bonus point.
Dick jokes sell.
Oh my God. I hate to say it, Joe, you are out of here.
Oh. This is wrong.
We love you, Joe.
I know, right?
Hold on.
Bullshit.
All right.
I got sky blue here.
I'm going to do a helicopter. Wow.
All right. It comes down to the champ here. So, Dan, let's get your timer set up here. Give me a second here. What do you think, champ? You think you can pull this one out?
We'll see. Hopefully, I'll pull it out in more than 30 seconds. I mean,
oh my.
That's what she said. Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Okay. But I'm.
Dan, you are on to 30 and go.
All right, to answer your question, first I want to start with the obvious. The fact that you look at their roster and you look at Sting's career, what fan, even the AEW diehards, asked for Sting's final match to be a tag match with him and Darby Allin against the Young Bucks? The Young Bucks have been ratings and merch poison for months now, if not longer. That is not, you do not send Sting out with a shit tag match against a team no one cares about. As for Ric Flair, no, he's not overshadowed Sting. His Wings commercial and his Flair energy drink, maybe. But no, he hasn't overshadowed him. He has gotten a little physical. Like you mentioned, the chop against Hobbs last night. A couple weeks ago, he had the exchange with Christian. I did like that Ric Flair could still do the eye poke, the fun little scared eye poke, but then it took him a minute and a half to roll out of the ring, which was really sad to watch. But I agree. Ric Flair is going to die in the ring. He's going to end up dying somewhere involved in wrestling, and that's a damn shame because he is dragging this down. Ric Flair is a sad, pathetic old man is he going to go out there and wave little Woo around? No, I don't think. I think the president's wrong on that prediction. Maybe he'll wave it at another flight attendant. We can have Dark Side of the Ring part two on that one. But to answer your question, to really to sum it up, no, this is awful. It's bad. It's terrible stuff. Flair being involved has only made it worse. Sting is being shit on his way out the door, and that's a fucking travesty. And I blame Ric Flair partially for that.
Nice job. Nice job, Dan. Let's see. Let's see how we ended up. Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
We've got a tie. We've got a tie. I guess we've got co-champions this week. Congratulations, guys.
How does that happen?
Finally. Still counts as a successful defense.
We're going to get Sky Blue on the show next week. Sky Blue's coming on next week.
Acknowledge me.
Still counts. Well, listen, until next week, this is on behalf of everybody at the 30. We will see you later. Later, guys.
What a day. What a day.
What a day, Joe.